Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 19 for April 17th, 2007. Trapped in the drive-thru. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. It's 1600 on the West Coast. That's 1900 on the East Coast. Midnight, Greenwich Mean Time, and it means can mean only one thing. It's time for Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte in California.
And I'm Amber MacArthur in sunny Florida.
You threw me on that.
I sure did. I had to head south, Leo. I couldn't take it anymore. And I came here, I arrived last night, and first thing this morning, there were tornado warnings and insane weather. It was just nuts. And so it finally cleared up a little bit, but it was so windy. I was running on the beach with my roommate, Jenna, and the Coast Guard actually came up and kicked us off the beach. But now the sun is out, and it's a little windy, and that's an understatement, but it's a lot better than Toronto right now.
It's been weird weather everywhere. There's storms back east. Snow in a lot of areas still, even though here it is the middle of April. It's tax day. Well, kind of tax day. Tuesday's tax day. We get a little deferment because it's April 15th is on a Sunday today. But I'm doing my taxes after this is done. And you get to the end of the month in Canada, so you'll do them when you get back, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I'm going to have to do them when I get back. But, you know, it seems like it's always tax time. You know, I want to be more prepared, but then all of a sudden it's a deadline and my accountant emails me and he's like, Amber, get your crap together. And it goes too fast, Leo, much too fast.
People are always telling me to get my crap together, but I don't think it has to do with taxes. Hey, we have some congratulations to our friends at Dig, nominated in social networking category in the Webbies?
Yeah, the Webby Awards just announced their 2007 nominees, and Dig was nominated in the social networking category, along with Delicious as well. So congratulations to them. And obviously, there were a ton of nominees. There were dozens and dozens and dozens this year. I had time to go through some of the list, but...
Book when you get to the list. It's the longest list I ever saw in my life.
I think it's a little too long, really.
What's going on? It's out of control. Now, you were a judge way back in the boom times.
Yeah, I was a judge, I guess, for the, I want to say 99 or 2000 when I was living in San Francisco, which is lots of fun. And they had that party up in San Francisco across from, I think, the Fairmont. Were you there, Leo?
Yeah, I was there.
You were at that party.
It was at the Civic Auditorium, and then across from it. In the grounds of Grace Cathedral, but the event was at the auditorium. It was really a neat event. It's so funny that you were there and I was there. We didn't know each other at the time, and you were a judge, so you probably were in some fancy spot. But
I don't know. I was probably in some corner just wandering around. But yeah, it was, it definitely was a lot smaller back then. But now it seems huge. I actually went onto the website because you can vote for your favorite nominees on the website. And I decided not to do it because when you get to the page, there's this big Verizon ad and you have to log in to vote. And it takes away from the sort of the community element, I think, a little bit.
Sold out. Let me just read you. I mean, the category list alone, and remember, there's four or five nominees in each category. Is, I don't know, 30 different categories? Activism, art, associations, automotive, banking, beauty, copywriting, I mean, political, broadband, celebrity, charitable, community, consumer electronics. It's like they're trying to make sure that every site in the world gets nominated.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, I found a few cool nominees. One I found in the blog category was the site mymoleskine.net, and I'm a big fan of the Moleskine. Other than that, though, like the viral videos I thought was kind of neat, the Diet Coke and Mentos video, which I'm sure everybody knows from YouTube.
That's ancient. That's ancient.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and then when it comes to podcasts, as far as audio podcasts, they have NPR and The Onion, which are great. But you always want to see more community podcasts. But maybe that's just from the angle that I'm coming into it.
No, I think this is just that's a perfect example of how this has become a corporate event. This is no longer a people's event, and it's all corporate sites. Frankly, there are a lot of corporate sites, and in the podcasts, exactly. There aren't very many independent or any. Well, let's see. The Onion, I guess, is independent media.
Well, you know what I find really strange, though, is that when YouTube had the YouTube Video Awards, I thought it was very well done because it was all community-based. You could go onto the website, you could vote. There were only, I think, 6 or 7 different categories. You could vote for your favorite video in each category, and then it was kind of like the dig system that it went up higher and it kind of variated per day. But what I find with the Webby Awards is you think this is a perfect awards show for the community online to actually vote for these awards, and then you have to log in and go through this process, which kind of goes against the grain with every single type of website that's nominated in here, like Dig. I wish it was a little bit different. It would be neat to see an award show on the web where everybody could actually just go and simply click and vote for their favorite websites, because I think that would be a more real representation of the sites that people really love.
I agree with you, and it's hard to follow when you have more than 100 nominees. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's good. I'm glad that Dig got nominated, and I'm glad for Kevin.
That's very cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we're just angry, Leo, because we weren't nominated.
I don't mind not being. I don't know what they would nominate me for. I know, there's nothing I do that would be in the Webby class.
I know.
Webby class.
And you know what? I always feel, and I know this is probably a terrible thing, but I almost don't want to be nominated or get any awards because I feel like then it will be downhill from there. I like just sort of, maintaining some level of just kind of, have something to look up to, Leo. I guess that's the point.
You're not alone. Actually, Merlin, when Merlin was, I can't remember what it was, top 25 web people or something from Forbes. He was kind of a little uncomfortable by it. He said, my friends are going to, it's actually a negative with the people that I care about who are all, kind of these hipsters, the Web 2.0 hipsters, they don't care if you get nominated for a Webby or a Forbes award. In fact, maybe a Webby's still hip, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I know. And it's a funny thing. I remember when with Now Magazine in Toronto, when I got nominated the 2006 Geek of the Year, all I'm thinking is, this is really cool. And I'm really excited they did it. And I love Now Magazine. It's great. But then you think next year it's going to be someone else. And then automatically
I thought
you're
the same
thing.
Oh,
I don't want to be on that list.
When I was Podcaster of the Year, I thought, well, that's it. It's over now.
It's over.
You're exactly right. You can't get any better than that.
You can't get any better. Anyway, so people can go check out the Webby Awards online. And, I think more than anything, and I used to do this when I did the web workshops on Call for Help where I reviewed people's websites, is that I would use the Webby Awards nominees or actually winners as a model of like really good web design. Because one thing I do find with a lot of the winners is they've really figured out how to offer up a great user experience. Yeah. So it's a good option for
people. And that's really what the Webbies were all about. I'll tell you one thing that I just recently happened to me that I feel pretty good about, and mostly because I think it gives me some street cred with my kids. I was in Rolling Stone magazine. Not the American Rolling Stone. I was in Mexican Rolling Stone. Don't laugh. You're laughing.
I'm coughing.
Rolling Stone Mexico. They did a very nice piece on me, which I can't understand a word of. But I was very flattered. And they sent me a few copies. And so I immediately kind of casually tossed, remember Woody Allen casually tossing his pictures or whatever awards on the coffee tables? I casually tossed it on the coffee table, hoping my kids would see it. They, of course, ignored it. So eventually I actually had to say, hey, kids, look at this. And they finally saw that I was in the Rolling Stone. And I think that gave me a little bit more credibility. La Voix de Tecnologia. And I want to thank the guy who wrote it. Who is, and I got his name here somewhere because he sent me the copy of it, Ricardo Zamora. Thank you, Ricardo. I appreciate that. It was very nice.
That is very cool, Leo. Yeah. I have to admit. That's pretty cool because that's a great rock and roll magazine.
Not the cover of the Rolling Stone, like the song.
One day.
It's kind of a second page from the last, but I'm moving up.
You're still in it. You're still in it. And, it's funny because another article that I want to mention today or another story is about how Rolling Stone is going to start their own social network online.
Like a MySpace? A Rolling Stone kind of MySpace?
Yeah, there's not a ton of details about it. I guess I read about it on the Globe and Mail site, and there's just a bit of information. But basically, I think they're realizing that, there's definitely a huge movement online in terms of music lovers and music communities, and they want to be able to capture that community. If you think about it, with anything from MySpace to Verb and all these other sites that are really built on music communities, it makes perfect sense for a Rolling Stone to try to kind of compete in that area. Whether it'll work or not, who knows? You should be the king of that. You should offer up your services, Leo, as the king.
They don't want me. I'm 50 years old. Basically, the only people I can go to at this point is the American Association for the Advancement of Retired People. I can get on the cover of the AARP magazine. That's about it. I'm not kidding. You know, it's all over. Hey, this My Moleskine is, you mentioned it, but I think we should say what a Moleskine is and what this site is and all. This is one of the webby, I'm looking at it right now. It's very pretty. My Moleskine.net. And a lot of people are going to say that, oh, you mean Moleskin. But it's Italian or something, right? Moleskine.
So a Moleskine is basically, it's a notebook. I shouldn't just say a notebook. It's more like a little book that you can buy. You can write notes in. But they come in a bunch of different varieties. And so you can buy them with lined paper. And they're really good quality. They're kind of leather bound.
It's like paper. But it's
paper.
Thick paper.
Yeah. They're thick paper.
You've seen them. Every geek carries them. They're like little black notebooks with a rubber band. And every geek carries them.
Yeah, the rubber band is great, so you can kind of mark your page where you are.
Right. For Christmas, I bought like Moleskines for everybody, for my whole family and everybody, and nobody used them. Nobody.
Really?
No. In fact, I still find them every once in a while. Look, here's one right here. Find them lying around. I used to use this one. This has got, I don't know.
I actually started buying, they offer up the little three packs. So you can buy the very thin Moleskine notebooks that look exactly like a passport.
Right.
So that's the only thing you don't want to get confused for your passport, which I almost did week.
Let me in. I have a page of notebook of jottings and musings. Let me in.
Here are my fabulous notes. But they're great little notebooks. So I'm always following kind of what they're doing. So site My Moleskine is pretty cool too.
I'm holding it up to the webcam if people want to see what a Moleskine looks like. I'm confused. We forgot to set yours up. I know what you're saying.
No, we didn't forget to set mine up. No. Okay, this is what I said to you on email. I hate to go off our little tangent here talking about news, but Leo, I'm having serious issues with my EyeSight camera on my MacBook. And if you remember before, it used to go on all the time. And so the light would go on and I felt like someone was spying on me constantly. And so I would put tape over it and I would get freaked out and paranoid. But it turned out every time I was accessing the capture widget that I have to take screenshots, it would go on. Now that kind of stopped happening and everything was fine. But I was trying to do a Skype video chat just the other day, and now my EyeSight camera will not go on at all. I cannot activate it. It says that it's in another program is using it. And so anytime I go to photo booth or iChat or try to get it, it says either your camera's not plugged in or another application is using it. And I've shut down the computer, restarted.
And I know we installed EvoCam on your system. It's not running, is it?
No, and the reason I know that it's not running is because I actually installed that last Sunday, and then I did a Skype video chat for Web Nation on Tuesday, and everything was totally fine with my camera. So I don't know what it is. Anyway, I'm throwing it out there in case I went on to a bunch of forums, and
We've got Skype running. Press the camera button on Skype.
Yeah, no, I can try. It'll just give me a whole lot of nothing though.
Nothing. Well, I won't start mine because I got EvoCam running. So let me quit EvoCam. I'll send you a picture. Maybe that will encourage it. Yeah. See, I get nothing while EvoCam's running. We could go through your system and figure out there's something probably.
But I guess my point in bringing that up is that I do want to have the webcam running for hopefully the next show, but I just need to figure this one issue out and we'll work it out. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Yeah.
And
afterwards we can
activate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Because I want it to work too.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. I actually...
Well, we thought what we were going to do, see, gang, was because Amber's in Florida at the beach, is put her out on the beach with the ocean behind her, the tornado behind her.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, we could have definitely have done it, but I just can't, I cannot get it to work at all. So we'll figure it out next time. And hopefully it's warmer in Toronto, so.
Gabriel is in our chat room, and he gave me a Moleskine when up in Toronto. He handed me one of the little thin, skinny ones that looks like a passport, and he's actually in our chat room. So thank you,
cool.
Gabriel.
Yeah, I love this.
It's funny that he should mention that because I found it this morning with all the other ones that are lying around.
I got tons of them as well.
Now, Fanless says you need to download and install an updater, a combo updater. So I'll send you this link here. Our chat room guys are so great.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to mention it on the show is just because I know we're doing this live. And also because other people have had this problem. As I mentioned, I looked on a bunch of forums. And so I figured, you know, someone would be able to help because it's a real pain.
Well, let me paste this in. There's an updater. The combo update Intel for 10.4.9. Maybe that fixes it. You must have done your updates, though. You've done
it. I have. I've done all my updates. Everything is totally updated.
Course you have. You know who else I see in the you've interviewed him on Web Nation, Justin of Justin.tv.
Oh, Wow, yeah. I love Justin. He's awesome.
I mentioned him on the radio show on Saturday, and he called in. I guess somebody told him I'd mentioned him.
I talked to him for a while,
except that we came back from a commercial. I said, well, hang on, Justin. I want to take a break. And, of course, you know, I'm a good radio host. So I said, when we come back, I've got to ask Justin, you know, if he has a girlfriend and what she thinks of being on camera all the time. I thought that's a good tease because I know he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And we took a break. We come back and Justin's peeing. He's in the bathroom.
Sorry.
Yeah,
kidding. I know people pee. I mean, that's obvious.
No, but fortunately, it didn't get on the air, but it was like, whoa. And he had hung up, so it didn't go on the air, but it was exactly what's, I think, wrong with Justin.TV. For some reason, every time I tune in, he's in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
It's a little weird. But anyway, we talked to him and about all the technology. And then now the reason I'm thinking of that is because he's going to take Tuesday off.
Yes, I heard that. And I heard he was going to take Tuesday. And Justine is doing it,
Justine,
is that right?
Who's in our chat room, is going to be, she does a Geek Riot right after this, and she's going to be... Figures. I mean, all you have to do is add an E to Justin TV, and it makes perfect sense. It's very easy to, you know, Justine TV.
Yep.
The problem is that nobody cares what Justine's looking at. We want to look at her. It'd be like you putting the camera on. What we'd really like is for Justin to be sitting there talking to you or Justine. That's what we care about, right? Nate Dane's going, yep.
Well, maybe he'll have to come to Toronto and Justine can come up too and we can all, you know, get
there
our own
go.
Show going on.
There you go. Let Justin interview you. I asked him, you know, he did go on a date because it was on Twitter. It was like the topic of Twitter. They were following Justin on his date. And I said, well, you know, how's your girlfriend? He said, I don't have a girlfriend. He said that I've gone on a couple of dates, but it's all people who have seen me on Justin TV.
Yeah, you know, that's so funny because when I interviewed him for Web Nation this past week, my first question was, you know, hey, are you doing this for more than just getting chicks? Because it's a great way to meet women if that's, you know, that's your prerogative. Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, he's kind of a bit of a star now in the whole web world. So I thought it was kind of fun. But it's weird. I've actually watched one of his dates. That sounds weird. I've watched one of his dates and it's just so awkward. I can't imagine being a woman going on a date with someone with a big camera on their head. I mean,
you don't really want to make out.
No.
And I mean, it's, yeah, you feel like you're dating not just a guy, but like 8,000 geeks who are going, I've never had a date. Let me watch this.
No, you're so going to get in trouble for that.
How does this work? No, Justin. What are you watching it for? That's what I don't understand. You're a normal person with a normal life. Why does this fascinate you?
Well, Leo, I don't know if I'm so normal. Like, I don't really watch, I'm not into television, really. I spend an enormous amount of time on the internet. That's kind of my life. And so when, you know, it's almost like having a hit sitcom. If you find out all your friends are watching some show, you're going to sit down a couple nights and you're going to watch it and decide if you like it or not, right? So I think it's one of those things that there's as much content as there is online, there's not a lot of great live content that you can watch, which I think is the most exciting part about the web. Anything live is kind of cool. So I think that's part of it. I'm just more interested in the concept and kind of how it works, and also the technology, because people think that it's a webcam and that he's, you know, sitting in front of a computer, but it's a total mobile camera that's attached to his head that he can go anywhere with. And he's pretty much one of the first people I've heard of who've done something like this successfully. So I find the technology very cool. Like, I was asking him how much the camera costs and he said $2,500. And I could see a lot of people, you know, maybe even using this for anything from, I don't know, with work or like business or creating a show. Like, the idea of having a camera live on someone is just, and let people watch online. I think we'll see more and more of it.
He's using, it's kind of interesting. He sounded a little bitter. He said, you know, I've been on Nightline and Today Show, but they never asked me about how this stuff works. And it's true. I mean, the mainstream media is never going to ask. So I said, well, tell me how it works. It's actually quite clever. They spent they spent 6 months figuring out how to keep him online no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
And it's using Evdo. It's using the cell network. They have dual Evdo connections that are, you know, so it's constantly being set up to the internet. And then they go to a content distribution network, which takes the stream and feeds it out. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, he can go anywhere in San Francisco. In fact, he went down to San Mateo, he said, a couple of days ago, and it followed him all the way down.
Yeah. See, and I find the technology behind it really cool. And I think just from working in a news station that, you know, how cool would it be if, you know, on some of the trucks, the camera trucks, like, they had these cameras where you could kind of watch with if the truck was at a scene or who knows what would happen. But I think the idea of it is kind of cool that you can tune into these live cameras that are on, like, moving either people or vehicles. I find it.
Justine, call in so we can ask you what you plan on Tuesday, because she's flying out, I think, tonight to or tomorrow.
Oh, so she's doing it. She's flying out. She's doing it in San Francisco.
She's going to do it in San Francisco, yeah.
That's very cool.
Pikey wants to know when the next Command N is going to be. I guess you're not doing one this week.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be, it should be out later tonight or tomorrow. So I shot it Friday night.
Next week, we'll miss one.
No, there'll be one next week, too.
You're going to do one in Florida?
I'm going to do it when I get back on the Monday, probably. So we're going to, it might not get out till Monday night or Tuesday morning, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay. And Will's in Africa, right?
Yeah, Will's in Africa. So I flew solo this week and it was a really quick show, but Jeff also did a segment from Halifax and Will should be back next weekend. And then I think it's after I fly into Toronto, we'll shoot maybe the next day pretty quickly. It's all, as you know, Leo, it's a lot of bouncing around doing a lot of different things, but it's all worth it in the end.
Let's get some other links in here before Doug joins us from Doug Tunes.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I have two stories here that I think are really kind of scary web stories in some ways. One is probably something people have heard about. It happened early last week, the Craigslist hoax, and what happened, I think it was in Washington State. Someone had posted a link up on Craigslist or an ad saying, hey, come in to this house and you can take whatever you want in this house. And I guess a bunch of people went in, kind of trashed the house and took a bunch of stuff. And it turns out that it was a family feud. So there was actually, I think, siblings possibly fighting. And so this one story, I mean, just unbelievable that this happened, but I do need to follow it up right away with another story that I read recently on a site out of Australia that was saying a teen in the UK had advertised that she was having a party and she mentioned it on MySpace and invited a bunch of people and the parents came home and they were left with $48,000 in damage from all of the crap that all the people at the party destroyed.
This is kind of like Ferris Bueller. No, what was it? What was the... Risky Business, Tom Cruise.
Risky Business, I know. And then I'm thinking of both of these stories, and it's something that we don't think a lot about with the web. I mean, we're constantly talking about the new technology, how great it is. But the fact that, like with this first story, with the Craigslist hoax, that someone could post this ad and then invite people to go to, you know, this random address and come in and take whatever they want.
It could happen to anybody.
It could happen to anyone. And then the party, I mean, that was just dumb on the teen's part. But still, like, that whole area where, you know, you're posting personal information and you know, telling people to go somewhere and do something, and then you know have, I don't know if it's hordes of people, but I know with the party from the teen on MySpace, I think there were more than 200 people who actually pretty much invaded and trashed the house. So, it's very interesting.
Oh, I forgot to put my phone on stun. Hold on, it's my son. Hi, Henry. I don't know, Henry. And actually, I'm doing the net at night right now, so. No, I can't really talk. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where mom is. She's probably at the barbecue at Mike and Terry's. Why don't you go over there? You can have a hamburger. Oh, she just got home. Okay, good. Okay. Thanks, Henry. Do your Canada report. He's doing.
That's so cute.
He's doing Canada it's a big school report. It's like, you get to pick a country. So I told him, well, hey, I know a little bit about Canada. Why don't you pick Canada?
And, nice.
I brought him back a hockey puck because that's, you guys like hockey, right?
All Canadians love hockey, Leo.
It's on your money, for crying out loud.
You better believe it. The $5 bill.
Wouldn't people mock us if we put football on our money? No? All right. Justine,
sure.
I want to put Justine on here because she did a very nicely called in just because I'm curious. Hi, Justine.
Hi, how are you?
What are you going to do or do you know on Tuesday?
Well, I know I'm probably going to be going to the Web 2.0 conference.
Oh, well, that
makes
sense.
That should be cool. I did have Marlon, so I'm hoping to meet up with him, and we're going to cross-interview each other.
Crash-interview each other?
Cross-interview.
Cross-interview.
Yes, so it should be interesting.
Does Merlin have a camera on his head?
I don't think so, but I guess we can put one on him. I mean, you know, it's possible.
I would like to see... Merlin with equipment. Let's call Merlin in on this. And I would like to see Merlin with a camera on his head. See if he'll answer. He might be busy right now. What do you think?
I can't hear Justine, but
I'll turn her up here, women. Okay. I have to. There's too many knobs on this board. Hey, Merlin. Maybe he doesn't want to talk. Yeah, he doesn't.
Hey, Justine.
Hi, Amber. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. I watched your interview when you were talking with Justin, were you on it the other day in the chat?
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah, that was lots of fun. He's great. Very cool.
He's hilarious.
You know, Leo, I just thought of something that you said. It does make sense for two people to be wearing these cams. That would be much, much better.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, Justine, you and I should put the cams on. We have a Canada, U.S. like tech show.
Do you know what the ratings would be if it were Amber talking to Justine and both of them had cameras on their heads?
Wow, we should plan this right now.
It would be huge.
We could do like a spring break somewhere. We'll just like go away for the whole week and hang out.
Oh, my gosh.
This is getting a little too exciting. You're not going to stay in a house, are you?
Well, where should we stay?
Well, you're right. I guess you'd have to.
We have to. We need shelter, Leo. What do you want us to do, sleep on the beach?
It reminds me of Mikey, who was a Big Brother fan. You know, he would watch Big Brother all the time.
Yeah.
And it's that same kind of weird, kind of voyeuristic thing.
Yeah, it is a little bit like that.
You know,
maybe I'll have to take a road trip down to Philadelphia in the summer. Or Pittsburgh, sorry, Pittsburgh.
Big Brother. Yeah, Pittsburgh. Big Brother Pittsburgh.
There you go.
We should go
somewhere with nicer weather, I think.
In Australia, I guess they're a little bit more open with Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go in the shower with them, and they're actually now clamping down on it. There's no more shower scenes on Big Brother Australia. I think that's what Mikey was watching for.
Yeah, that's possible, but I don't want to embarrass him right now.
Let's not embarrass Mikey. So, Justine, good luck. I hope you have fun.
Thank you.
Have you planned anything at all? I mean,
well, right now I'm going to start I'm in Like With You game to meet up with someone for coffee in the morning.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that should be kind of cool.
I sent you an invite to that, Amber. Have you played with I'm in Like With You yet?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw your slideshow on there too. It's very cool.
Yeah, I have a slideshow. So does Amber. I mean, Justine. So that's kind of a weird site. I mean, I feel uncomfortable being on there because it feels like a flirting site.
It does. Mm-hmm. That makes me a little bit uncomfortable too, but hopefully no one thinks I'm actually looking for a date, just getting some coffee.
But you play these, it's kind of interesting because you create, it's like MySpace, except you're not allowed to contact somebody unless you win their game. And so the game is silly. The game is you just say, here's a game, and you pose a question or you make a statement, and then people respond to that, and then they have to bid points, and then the top five bidders, you get to pick which one of those you're going to add to your contact list, and then they become somebody that you can chat with. It's a very interesting. Do you like it, Justine? Is it a good idea, do you think?
I do. I think it's great. I'm just sometimes concerned because I think people are thinking that I'm trying to go on a date if I bid on them.
Yeah, because you send winks and stuff.
Yeah, that part's a little awkward, but I mean, other than that, if you're clear of what you're looking for, then I think you'll be all right.
And I feel kind of weird as a 50-year-old guy married with a family on I'm in Like With You winking at people.
So yeah.
I kind of left. I said, okay, I get it. I was there to kind of learn about it. I now know.
It's part of your research, Leo, man. You got to stay up to date on these.
Yeah, Leo, man.
Exactly.
Leo, man.
Yeah,
I'm all chill. I'm on vacation, so I'm...
Hey, man. Hey, bro. You got to try it. It is the way we do it here. Have a concreta. So, all right, Justine. Well, good luck. We'll all be watching on Tuesday. What time do you assume the camera?
Oh, I have no idea yet, but it'll probably be in the morning, so...
When Justin gets out of bed...
Yes.
He'll be there. And maybe you could tidy his room up a little bit, because it's just a pigsty.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was doing the webcam chat with him. He needs to organize his closet.
Organize?
Yeah, he does. He needs my roommate Jenna to come and
Jenna
whip him into shape. She's great with that
stuff. Jenna, take care of it. Thanks, Justine. Good luck. Have fun.
All right, see ya.
All right, take care.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. That's Justine from tastyblogsnack.com and iJustine on Twitter and Jaiku. And what happened to you on Jaiku? You joined and then that was it.
I know. I joined and then I had to go to work the next day. That's basically what happened.
Well, you're in Florida now.
And then I didn't come up for air until I got on the plane to Florida.
Yeah.
So
did you have to go get ahead if you do that?
No, I didn't. But we shot Web Nation last week and we had a show go up on Thursday night. And then it's just busy, you know. Basically just doing kind of a story a day. It's kind of like a grind all the time. So I didn't have to get too far ahead. But this week, it sounds weird because my family's like, why are you online all the time? Because you're supposed to be here on vacation. But this is my time to kind of get caught up with everything from emails to actually like diving into stuff like Jaiku and, you know, doing stuff that I want to do. Because for me, entertainment is or sort of free time. I do like to spend it on the web. So, between that and the beach, I'm pretty happy right now.
Let's get a couple more links in here before we get our guest on, Doug. Of Duke Tunes, I see that you like the new Apple ad.
I love the new Apple ads. They're great. And
it's kind of visual, the stuffed one.
Yeah, the stuff one's a little visual. Maybe you can play another one if you have a favorite. But there's three new Mac ads, so the Mac versus PC ads. I'm a fan of the one where the PC guy comes in. He's super gigantic and bloated. He looks like he's been blown up. It's so good. But, you know, once again, I think that, you know, these ads are just fantastic. They do a good job.
I'm glad they kept Justin, that he didn't leave, because there was rumor that he wasn't going to be the Mac guy anymore. And he's just so good.
I love that guy. Yeah, he's great.
And, of course, John Hodgman. Justin Long and John Hodgman. And Stuffed is visuals, or I would play it, because, but it's too visual. You just have to go. It's online on the apple.com/getamac. But you should gotta see it. It's so funny. He's blown up like a balloon. Then there's Flashback and there's Computer Cart. Which one would you want me to?
I don't remember
Flashback.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't remember that.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, PC, you want to see the website and home movie I made?
Oh, I'm so creative, and all my programs are so easy to use.
PC.
Well, some things never change, Mac. Some things never change.
Yeah, he's got a little Flashback look.
So you want to see my pictures, PC? I have a better idea. How about I calculate how much time you've just wasted?
Mm-hmm. PC, you want to see
him? Actually, I have a better idea. Why don't I calculate how much time you just wasted?
I love those.
That's awesome. You know what, Leo? I was just thinking when we were chatting, we were talking about that one's very funny, but the bloated one, and you were trying to describe to people what the guy looked like, what John looked like, the PC guy. And you know what he reminds me of? Is Augustus Gloop from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
That's right.
Factory.
After he eats the blueberry or whatever it
After
is.
After he eats the blueberries. Yeah. Imagine the PC guy looking like that.
He gets really... The chocolate, and he gets really fat?
But he does turn blue, I think, at least in the...
Violet eats the blueberry.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Dane, Augustus don't mess with Dane. He's the Oompa Loompa king.
Oh, I
love
that.
So Augustus Gloop gets so fat from what? Just eating a lot of chocolate. Okay. He's the glutton child,
yeah. Basically, in the whole show. Anyway, that's kind of what the guy looks like if someone needs to imagine that. And then the last thing that I was going to mention, and just because I always come across these links and people send me links, and I saw the opening sequence for your show,
We put it on the web, labwithleo.com, /media files. You want me to play a little bit of it? You
can just hear. Yeah, why not?
You can just hear. You don't see the visuals, but they Vancouver plays a big role in it. And you know who did this music? Our own Sean Carruthers did such
really?
A good job with the music. Yeah, he did it. Well, it was a demo. He did it on GarageBand as a demo because we were going to send this to composers to say this is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And we all listened to it and we said, boy, that's good.
That's great.
We don't need to go any farther. So that's from Sean Carruthers. And I think they did a nice job. It's going to be fun, but it's not going to be the same without you, I have to say.
I know. I imagine one day that I'll come back. It'll be like, a reunion. I know. It'll happen.
You are on the first show, though.
Yes.
And a little segment. And you know what touched me a lot? It's kind of like, you know, when somebody wins an Academy Award and they can't be there, so they send a film. Amber sent us a film. But it was very... Because you'd actually taped it in your bedroom. And you have on your wall that painting of you, me, and Andy.
Yeah.
That we did. And I was very touched that's up on your wall. That's really neat.
Yeah. It's up on the wall in my room.
You just put it up there for that film, though, right?
No, it's there all the time.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a pop art kind of on canvas, and it's that picture of the three of us on set, and then I sent it to that company. I can't remember the name of the company right now, but basically they turn it in kind of Andy Warhol-esque pop art, and it's really cool. So I have that up on the wall.
It doesn't creep you out when you wake up and you go, oh.
Well, now that I think about it, I have been having nightmares until I got to Florida. No, it doesn't creep me out at all. Are you kidding? Those are some of the best times I've ever had.
It was really fun.
It's really good memories. And like I said, I hope I see Andy every week now. It's hilarious. But he comes on Homepage all the time on City TV. And like I said, Leo, I'm going to get out to Vancouver at some point and definitely I'm going to sneak up on you and you'll be like, ah!
And then it'll be my turn for nightmares.
Exactly.
Let's get to Doug on the horn here. He says he's not there. Let's see if I can add him to the conference call. Doug is Doogtoons. You've all been to the site doogtoons.com.
Hello.
Hey. Do we call you Doug or do we call you Doug?
You can call me either one. That's fine. Yeah. You can call me Doug. My close friends call me Doug.
But your fans call you Doug now.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is the Doug of Doogtoons, and tell it's cartoons of the people by the people for the people.
Yes. I never want to mislead anybody. It's not like I'm making political or patriotic cartoons. I guess they're cartoons about people and, you know, I guess relatable to your average, you know, average Joe or people, situations that people go through.
I think
every
the
day.
First time I became aware of you was when you did the great Ask a Ninja.
Yes, me too.
Oh, the Ninja cartoons.
That was so great. Yeah, and you were on Ask a Ninja, and they were on Duke too. Here, I could play a little bit of it here. I think if my software is working here. Let's see. Duke Tunes asks a ninja. What?
Okay. Are we rolling? We're rolling. Yes.
How's it?
It looks fine. It looks good.
We're rolling.
Okay, today my guest is the ninja from AskAninja.com. I think he's my guest. Is he? Are you here?
Yeah, that's right. I'm here.
Okay. I couldn't tell where that came from.
Right. Yeah, that's the point.
This is going to work a lot better if you're actually out here.
Wait, you want me to appear on camera?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to bottom line it for you then, buddy. If I show myself, I'm probably, I'm definitely going to kill you. And I'll probably kill your crew, and then I'll kill your family, and then probably the crew's family as well. Just consider you and everybody that you know dead if I show myself.
Awesome. Oh, it's so funny. So you're obviously a trained cartoonist. I mean, you're very, the stuff's very pro. How did you get into this?
I'm self-taught. I've been cartooning for, you know, forever since I was a little kid. I wanted to be a comic strip artist. But you know, I don't know. I stopped doing it, and then I went off to school, and then I thought that I wanted to be a, you know, director, do live action stuff. And then I just got back into it when I realized that animation is kind of the easiest, or the, not the easiest, I would say the most, you can take advantage of your resources.
Control all the actors.
Exactly. You have, you know, complete creative control. And with the amazing software that's out there these days, it's very easy to create a cartoon with absolutely no, you know, outside resources whatsoever, except for your computer, some software, and a tablet.
What software do you guys use to actually do the cartoons?
I use a combination of stuff. I never wanted to be a strictly Flash animator because I think a lot of stuff online, it starts getting that Flash. If you watch enough of them, you start noticing like the little Flash, consistencies, like the way that the art is drawn, and the thick black lines. And like, I kind of wanted to mix it up and make it look a little bit different, add some little special effects like motion blur and blur. So I use a combination of Flash. I do most of the character animation in Flash and After Effects. And then I kind of composite everything. I use Photoshop and Illustrator.
Wow.
And then put it all together with Final Cut Pro.
That's pretty high end. I mean, this is a pretty sophisticated production system.
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than just, you know, putting it on Flash and then exporting out to QuickTime and then putting it on the podcast. But I don't know. I like to keep it as visually interesting as possible. So it's fun to use different tools to try to achieve that.
My kids love Duke Tunes too, by the way.
Cool. How old are they?
Well, they're 12 and 15. They're old enough.
Okay. All right.
Not little kids. It's not really okay, for little kids.
No, well, some of the cartoons aren't for little kids. Like the dirty jokes aren't for little kids. But I don't know. None of them is like South Park.
Yeah, no, they're great. Yeah. And when we first got an iPod with video, that was the first thing I filled it up with, is that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just really fun, and it's not stuff you see on broadcast. And I think that's kind of what's neat about it. Did you, before you were doing the podcast though, were you doing this in any other venue?
Well, I had the cartoons online for a long time, but I never. I don't know. I never really advertised them. I kind of just had them for the original ones were the Nick and Hag ones. And that was, I did those. I started the Nick and Hag episodes back in 2001. So they've been online kind of in the background for, I don't know, about 5 years, or they had been for about 3 to 4 years. And then the podcast technology came out, and I thought it'd be kind of a fun thing, and said, hey, it'd be kind of cool to cut these up into little pieces. Cause the original Nick and Hike episodes were about 7 minutes a piece. And it just comprised of several of the episodes kind of lumped together. And so I took each little question and sectioned it off into one little piece and then put that on the podcast. Because, you know, I wanted to have it very, very short. And at the same time, I didn't want to just, you know, take all the work I'd done and put it in two episodes. So I wanted to kind of like make a whole string of episodes. And that was the easiest way to do that.
So what about all of the fans that you guys have now in the community there? Do they ever sort of inspire you to create certain episodes or, you know, give you lots of ideas?
Well, I mean, I try to, I don't know. It's a little bit tough when you have people throwing ideas at you left and right. And then, you know, in my personal life too, I mean, I love my mom to death, but she got, every single time I see her, she's like,
I got an idea.
Exactly. Like, you should do a cartoon about this and that. And
it'd be so funny.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, great. Well, I'll show it to you and 10 of your friends. And no, but I do have a lot of people writing in. And the cool thing about the Dirty Jokes series is that we'd like people to, you know, write in their ideas for jokes, and then we'll pass them off onto Eli and see what he thinks. And, you know, they could possibly get their dirty joke on the show.
Nice. Which, out of all the videos you've done so far, which one do you think is your favorite?
Oh, well, I would say my personal favorite is the Weird Al one. And there's going to be a lot more Weird Al videos.
He's a big fan, huh?
I'm a big fan of him. And I don't know if you guys caught the new music video. Did you see it?
No, but we'll play it in a second here.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
It's, I did an interview with him, back in September, and it was right before his album came out, and it was perfect timing because, you know, his other albums, you know, Poodle Hat, it was a great album. It just didn't get, you know, as much, I don't know, it wasn't up in the charts, and he was kind of in the background. And then this latest album came out, and White Nerdy was a huge internet hit.
Yeah.
And so it brought him kind of to the forefront, and it was just right after we did our interview. And so, I mean, as I said, perfect timing to get him in. And I think he was more willing to kind of try new things when I asked him to do it. And so he came in and we did the interview, and I was, kind of intimidated because he is one of my heroes. He's been one of my heroes since I saw UHF back in 89. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie.
Oh, what a great movie. Yep.
One of the greatest comedies of all time, for sure. My favorite comedy. But I'd been a big fan of his. And so, you know, him coming in to the studio, and, you know, I rent a studio down in Santa Monica, and we sat down, and he was just the nicest guy, the, you know, absolute most down to earth, coolest guy. And so I was very, very thrilled. We got a lot of great material. And then I released one of the episodes, and then things got kind of complicated in the business aspect in my company. And then, so I didn't really get as many episodes out as I wanted to, but he saw the first episode. He really, really liked it. And I got an email from his manager in early January. And his manager said, we have an interesting opportunity for you. So I called him back right away, and he said, we saw your clip and we love it, and we want you to do the video.
Isn't that neat?
And so I was blown away. And, you know, he said, well, here's the catch. We need it done very, very fast, and it's 11 minutes long.
Oh, oh wow.
And he said, I'm sure it's going to, you know, be a lot of work, but are you willing to do this? And I said, you know what? I will figure out a way to do it. Cause, you know, even if I didn't tell him this, but I probably would have done it for free. Cause the opportunity to make a Weird Al music video was just too good.
That is an amazing story.
Let me play. Yeah. First of all, this is the teaser for the Weird Al on Duke Tunes, and then I'll play Trapped in just a second.
He's one of the most respected artists of our time. A three-time Grammy Award winner and a part-time janitor and TV star.
Well, I'm Weird Al, and I don't freestyle. I could write you a song, but it'll take a little while.
Word. I love him.
Yeah,
he's a funny...
It was... It was a very, very cool opportunity to beatbox with him. I didn't think he'd do it, but I always wanted to beatbox with Weird Al.
Oh, that's neat. Oh, that's really neat. So you're beatboxing with him.
Yeah, I'm doing the beatbox. That's me in the background, and he's rapping to it. So
that's so funny.
And he had a great attitude about it. He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Can we beatbox?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, sure, go ahead." And that's
you'll forgive me if I don't play all 11 minutes of Trapped.
No.
But let's just play a little bit of it. And if you want to, we could do it. This would be like the DVD commentary. If you want to say anything about it as we run it here, you can. But it's all you illustrated the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, well, I did. I had a 3-person team.
It's a lot. There. I mean, it's a lot. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And it was, to do an 11-minute animation, a 3-person team is not that many people. But I had about 2 months to do this.
It's so great.
Yeah, it was, it was honestly one of those situations where you're confronted with a huge, huge piece of work and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it or where I'm going to do it or how it's going to get done, but I'm going to do it. So I basically spent every waking moment of the next 2 months doing it. There was never a moment in the day where I was wasting time. I was pretty much just animating. And my family, suffered, and my girlfriend almost broke up with me.
Oh, jeez. Look, at Weird Al is not worth losing your girlfriend over.
Oh, well. She was very understanding. And, we talked about it, and, we're fine now. But she's actually sitting right here next to me, so I can't really talk too badly about her.
She didn't give up on you, and I like that.
Anyway, she didn't give up, and my family was very understanding, and my friends were very understanding, and everybody was very, very thrilled about it. But, sitting in a room for 2 months straight, you can get a little pale, and you can get repetitive stress syndrome.
Yeah, I bet.
It was very rewarding. It was probably the hardest creative project I have ever done. It wasn't the hardest job I've ever had. The hardest job I ever had was selling books door to door.
But that's hard.
Yes,
yeah. That's no fun.
No.
Well, you don't have to do that anymore. All your videos are on Rever, I think, or most of them are. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they doing well by you?
Yeah, they're doing very, very well. It's with Rever, it's, I guess, the whole way to make money is to get the video seen as much as possible. And there's nothing wrong about that. I mean, it's
heck no.
It builds your audience and builds revenue. And so I also have, banner ads and whatnot, but I'm getting some income from Rever and from banner ads and whatnot.
That's awesome.
And with the Weird Al video, what was his reaction when he saw the final product?
Oh, he was with me every step of the way. I would send him, revisions, and I sent him the animatic, and he wrote his notes, and then I would, we would write back and forth over email. And he came over a couple of times. First time I met Al, actually, kind of a funny story. He was supposed to cruise by my house, and we live kind of close to each other. He was supposed to cruise by my house and pick up the animatic for the first time. And he calls me up and he says, I'm going to be a little bit late. I got a flat tire. And so I'm going to have to wait for the tow truck to come. And I said, well, I'll just come out and pick you up. He's like, oh yeah, sure, that'll be great. So I drove out, and I he was waiting at a park at a gas station, and I parked and ran over and met him, and he walked across the street, and as he was walking across the street, everybody was stopping in the street and honking and saying, hey, what's up? And I was like, whoa, this is kind of surreal. But I drove back to my house, and we talked about it and stuff. But anyway, he at the very, very end, he said he was very, very thrilled, and he couldn't have asked for anything more. He thought it was great, and I was very, very happy with
his and they frankly they needed you, because that's 11 minutes is a lot to carry.
Oh yeah,
and so this really makes it happen. It's great.
Well, thank you, yeah, thank you. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it. I think he saw what was on the internet, and he kind of realized that. For this type of song, since it's so kind of deadpan and just drags on and on and on, it's like kind of a very deadpan, like subtle video was necessary for that. Right. And so it kind of goes along with the stuff I've already done, which is, very dry humor.
Yeah, wry. Yeah. I love it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Doug, we want to thank you. We're going to let you get back to your girlfriend. But we don't want to keep you any longer. But it's DougTunes, DougTunes.com.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Amber. And thank you, Leo. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk to you. And of course, there's a podcast which you've got to subscribe to. So that way you'll get to. How often do you put out new Duke Tunes?
I try to put them out as much as possible, but I'd say at least once every month I put out one. I'm trying to get it down to biweekly. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And you're on G4 too, as well.
I was. Yeah, they ran some episodes. I think they're still running them right now, but it was on the Late Night Peep Show. On G4, which also had Happy Tree Friends and a bunch of other internet animated films.
There's such great stuff out there now, thanks to video and podcasting. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Great to talk
to you. Thanks so much.
If you only see one, go see the ninja ones.
The ninja ones, yeah.
So funny. And then Doug appears on the ninja in the real world of the ninja, which is funny.
Yep.
Yeah, goes back both ways. You ready to take some calls?
Yeah, we have just over 10 minutes, so let's do it.
Plenty of time, I think. Let's start with the Stryker F-35. Welcome to Net at Night, Stryker F-35. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. Amber and Leon, how are you?
Great. First name and city, please.
My name is Miles. I'm calling from Cheddar, Nebraska.
All right. Did you ever see that Doug with the ninja? Oh, it's so funny.
I actually just watched it while
I have a feeling his server's probably got hit a little bit.
I get that feeling as well.
I just thought the patient's not doing too well.
We didn't have a topic for the night, Amber, but I guess we'll just open the lines and let people talk about whatever they want to talk about.
You know, maybe they could ask us questions if they have any questions or if they have any links. Maybe just kind of a free-for-all, because last week we didn't get a chance to really take any calls. We took a couple, I think, towards the end. But, call in and have something to say or something to ask.
So what do you have to say, Stryker F-35?
Well, you kind of put me on the spot here, but if I say anything, I'd say that I'm really liking Jaiku, Leo. Thank you.
Are you? Oh, good. Yeah, maybe now that Amber's in Florida, we can get her to post one more thing.
Leo, I will.
There's a long comment thread on your one post, which is joined Jaiku.
I know. I heard that. I heard there's quite a few comments there. So
most people saying it's not really Amber. It's not, you know, anyway, it's fine. Oh, no, there's no pressure. In fact, that was one of the things I think people got mad at me, feeling like I talked them into Twitter and now was talking them into something different. And no, not at all. The only pressure I'm putting on is people like Amber, my friends who I want to hear from. But I wasn't able to get any of my friends to move, really. It's just, a few of them, but not Merlin, not Amber. None of the people I know moved, so I'm really kind of all alone there. I'm not. I have 71 friends. I have tons of friends. Well, good. So what do you like about it, Mike?
What I really like about it is that you could, especially like the seats, I can throw my
isn't that great?
Seat on there.
Yep.
And it's just the interface, you know, I'm kind of, I don't know, you can call me a bit of a design geek, but I just love the interface so much better.
And I think they have
the
people don't know, but the API that they're using, the interface for programmers who want to plug into it is very good. And I think that ultimately there'll be a lot of additional applications designed around it. It's fairly easy to design.
Well, hopefully.
For. Yeah, we need a Twitterific and a few other things like that.
Definitely.
Hey, it's great to talk to you.
And before I go, can I say one thing? Amber, I don't know if it's possible to do this, but it's great to have you on Facebook, but you're kind of flooding out my newsfeed with friend requests.
I'm sorry. I know. You know what? I don't know what to do about that. Because
I don't like that part of Facebook.
I know. Well, I like the part because I can read what other people are posting. The problem is when you get so many friend requests, and I'm sure this happens to lots of other people, that every time I go in and I accept like, you know, a few dozen a day or it's like 50
there
or
something.
There
should be a way that doesn't show up in the...
I know.
You know what that
I
means? You've got to do it in the middle of the night.
Okay, you know what I'll do for you? I will stay up late at night and I will only add friends between the hours of 1 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Oh, God, that's awful.
I'm kidding. I can't do that. But yeah, I know. A lot of people have written me and said every time you add a ton of friends, it's clogging up my newsfeed. So I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. If anyone has a workaround,
that's not your fault. That's a flaw in Facebook. I really think that's a pretty serious flaw in Facebook.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I have a girl who just wrote me on Facebook who works at Facebook out in California. So maybe I'll fire her off an email and ask her if there's anything I can do about that, because that's a good idea.
It's fine if you're not a public figure, but it doesn't work for public. And I guess that's kind of part of the issue, is when you and I use sites like this, we're not using it as normal people would use them.
Yeah. No, we're not normal people. Basically, that's what you're saying, Leo.
We're completely abnormal. That's
Someone actually wrote a comment on my blog, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you already, but they said, Amber, you're turning into the female Leo Laporte. And I thought that's a great compliment.
Oh, you're right. You're white and nerdy. Jeffro, welcome to Net at Night. Leo Laporte, Amber MacArthur. What's your first? I guess your first name is Jeff, yeah? Jeffro. All right, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to give you, if you can't get your mic working, I'm not going to give you a lot of time. How about Boo-ho? Hello, Boo-ho. How are you?
Hello, Leo and Amber. Good afternoon. Good evening, I guess.
And what's your first name and where are you calling from?
My name is Carlos. I'm calling from New Jersey, but I actually used to live in Mexico many years ago, and my mom has a satellite dish.
Ah.
I caught a random feed of something from before screensavers. I guess it was CDTV or CDTV.
Yeah, it could have been ZDTV or MSNBC or CNBC.
And I saw you, and a host that you had with your lady, I forget her name now. This was long before Patrick.
Kate.
And then I moved to the U.S., and I was thrilled to see you all again.
Yep, that was Kate Botello.
Yes.
Who now lives in the wilds of Michigan with her husband, Ray. And I don't think she's doing anything techie. I think they're doing web design. I think they were doing web design. I'm not sure exactly what she's up to, but I would sure like to get Kate on the show. I'll see if I can track her down. I've asked her many times to be on Twitter, and she's never.
It would bring back memories for both of us.
Yeah, it would. It would be really nice. One last dance. We used to dance at the end of the show. Amber, it's something we never did, but Kate and I would do a little dance over the credits at the end of the show. It was so much fun.
Very fun. Yeah, we never got in that habit, but I have seen you dance.
Yeah, you probably don't want to. Now that you've seen me. She has a video, by the way. But people wonder why I'm so nice to Amber. She has a video.
I do have a video, actually, at my house on my iMac of Leo at a Christmas party, and I'll just
blackmail.
Leave it at that.
Blackmail. Me dancing, working up a lather. I think Andy Walker's in that video, too, as I remember.
It's mostly you.
Oh, dear. No. She's never shown this to me, but she has told me she has it. I'll have to take your word for it.
I sure do.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Carlos. Thanks for listening to the show, and I hope you're staying dry. I know it's really pouring in New Jersey right now.
It is pouring. It's been raining for all Friday, all today, so yucky and depressing, but it's great to talk to you both, and congratulations. Thank you. This is a little surreal, but...
Thank you, Carlos. It's great to talk to you. It's not surreal at all. It's talk show. Taylor! Hey, Taylor. Leo Laporte, Amber MacArthur. Where are you calling from, Taylor? Huh? Yeah.
Oh, Taylor.
You're from Santa Ana, I know, because I see that in the chat, but we're getting way over-modulated. Try again. Say again.
Sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know what, Taylor? Whatever mic you're using, it ain't working. I'm sorry. I feel bad because he really wanted to get on.
Aww.
And he says he can imitate, he can talk fast and imitate somebody talking. Maybe me. I don't know. I'm sorry, Taylor, but it's just the mic just doesn't sound so good. CEO of Apple. Is this Steve Jobs?
Well, I'm not Steve Jobs, but I'm Alex from Villa, California.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Hey, Alex.
Wonderful. When is MacBreak going to return, MacBreak HD going to return to?
There's a new MacBreak.
I know the Apple TV GMT one, but is it going to return to a weekly?
I don't know. You know, I'm not the keeper of MacBreak. Alex Lindsay is, and I have no idea what he's got in the can, or we haven't taped anything in months, so he may have actually...
Give him a smack upside the head.
I'll smack him upside the head. I know. You know, he got very... I'll tell you what I think happened. He got very busy making money. It turns out that a lot of people have come to him, including Revision 3. He's doing the Burt Monroy podcast video podcasts because he has such a great production situation. And I think he just got focused on doing that, frankly. So I don't know what the story is with MacBreak or when we're going back in the studio or what's going on with it. It would be a shame to let it die. But as I said, I don't have any control over it. And it's one of the reasons I don't do video. Amber, you know this. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, yeah.
I mean, we can crank these audio podcasts out like nobody's business.
But video, it takes a lot more effort.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Net at Night, you know, we do this live. I mix it down and put it out. Chef Boyardee. I love Chef Boyardee. Hey, Jeff.
This is like Rice-A-Roni.
Hi.
Hey, you have we had Rice-A-Roni. Now we have Jeff Boyardee. Where are you calling from, Jeff?
I'm calling from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Lovely part of the world. How's the weather in Appleton?
It's getting better.
Yeah, it was pretty bad earlier in the week, I know.
It was awful. It was like we were going back in time.
It was snowing.
Towards winter, yeah.
Toronto's been like that.
Yeah.
I have a quick comment or question to pick your brain.
Okay.
I have two podcasts, and I'm a science teacher, high school science teacher.
Oh, cool.
And we run into such problems as science teachers, or as teachers, trying to use new technology. I'll just take like Flickr or Skype, for example. It gets always blocked because of ongoing laws, you know, like DOPA is coming up, but all these laws that...
drives me crazy. It drives me crazy.
Social networking is a dirty word in education.
And it's dumb. And, you know this. You're an educator. This is the kids' environment. This is their life.
Well, the other problem is we're told on one side that as educators, you know, you must be advanced,
right.
Push yourself, do more. And then on the flip side, well, you're locked out.
I have to think this is a temporary disjunction, and that may take a couple of years, but administrators are going to get comfortable with this technology. They're going to realize it's the only way to connect to kids. It's their life, and it can be used very effectively. But I think it is going to be a little hard right now, Jeff. I'm not surprised to hear you having trouble. Some school districts are more enlightened than others, but schools are not there. Remember, schools are not there to jump on bandwagons.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a problem that they move a little more slowly. It's hard for you as a teacher, I know, because you'd love to.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, you'd love to use these tools.
Mm-hmm. I had to do a podcast kind of on the lam, and the newspaper picked it up, and then, surprise, you're podcasting.
Yeah. Well, congrats. What's the name of your podcast?
It's I do Periodicity for Science Teacher Organization for the state, and the other one is BaslerCast, BaslerCast.
How can we, what website, that's, how can we find this?
Well, I'll just Google Periodicity, WSFT Periodicity. I put it in the chat.
Okay,
or BaslerCast.
Great.
Yeah, the one's for my students, and then one's for science teachers.
Hang in there, Jeff. I think
seriously.
They're lucky to have a teacher like you who's really interested in this stuff. And ultimately, I think you're going to be in the forefront. You're going to be there. But it's just right now, it's tough, I know.
Hey, thanks much.
Thanks. Good luck.
Thanks.
We're out of time.
Can't believe it again.
It goes woo, like that. But
it goes so fast.
I believe, young lady, you have some shrimp to peel.
I know. Actually, we're having shrimp and scallops for dinner. And I think Jenna and my parents are all out cooking for me. So I didn't have to help prepare dinner, but I have a feeling dishes are in my future.
Well, have fun with that. Have a great... I know this is your first vacation in almost a year since you joined City News. Have a great time. Catch Amber's wonderful WebNation at citynews.ca/WebNation or on iTunes. In fact, do her a favor, subscribe. You know, it's featured on iTunes in the U.S. now.
Yeah, it would be great if people could go and subscribe. I know in Canada we made it up, I think, to number 3 about a week ago. We were trying to get to the top.
I think
number 1 in tech stuff. So, and anyone out there, if you want to go in, subscribe. The show is completely free, which is a big step, I think, for a news organization to kind of put an entire half-hour show out there. But it's there. It's called WebNation, and that would be awesome. And Command Down will be out tomorrow.
Yep. And, of course, AmberMack.com is her site. And we'll put this podcast out, as always, in a high-quality version. Those of you who listen live, you hear kind of a phone version of it, but believe me, it sounds great in the high-quality version. And you'll be able to hear that at twit.tv this coming Tuesday, because I'm going to put Dane to work editing this. Dane's ready. He's ready to get down and work. I'm headed off for Vancouver tomorrow to do another 15 episodes of The Lab with Leo. We have some good news. We have a date, April 23rd. The Lab with Leo debuts on G4 Tech TV Canada and the How To Network in Australia. And now that we're on the air, or soon to be on the air, I think you can look for us to try very hard for a U.S. network, and we'll work on that. No promises, no idea, but we'll do our best. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I'm going to unmute you all. You can all say goodnight to everybody from Net at Night. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.